my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, our good friend Herb and Patreon and great supporter of the show has picked, Dave, an Aussie-American comedy. Now, Aussie-American, he's right. We'll talk about the comedy side of it. But we're going back, Dave, to 1992. And this is a movie with two names, very similar, as I said last week. I remember having the big poster on the wall of AWOL, Van Damme, which is also called Lionheart in America. So this has two names. So it's called Exchange Lifeguards in the United States, Dave. But to any of the Aussies out there, it was called Wet and Wild Summer, and it stars Julian McMahon and Christopher Atkins and Elliot Gould. So, have you ever heard of this one, Dave?
Hey there, this is Editor Dave here, and I'm just going through the episode and listening back on this leisurely Saturday morning, and I realise we've got the facts completely the opposite way around. So this movie is actually Exchange Lifeguards in Australia and the rest of the world, and Wet and Wild Summer in the US. Bit of trivia being wrong doesn't normally stop us, but I thought that was a pretty glaring one. Back to the show. Absolutely not. However, Chris, so this came out in 1993. I'd have been 17 at the time. I'd probably still been, you know, dipping in and out a bit of Neighbours, bit of Home and Away. You know, there was a bit of an Aussie invasion in the UK, wasn't there, around the kind of late 80s and 90s with all these sort of daytime soaps. And then you had all the, you know, they decided to do the pop stardom as well. You had Craig McLaughlin releasing, what was it?
Mona.
Brilliant. So if I'd have known this movie called Exchange Lifeguards was around, I would have definitely watched it. It would have been, let's say, about fifth or sixth on the list of stuff to watch. Had I seen the video called Wet and Wild Summer, it probably would have gone to the top. So I said last week, you know, they knew the kind of demographic they were aiming for in the US. I think definitely, you know, again, I've told the story before about getting caught out humming the Baywatch tune and stuff. So, you know, it was partial to a bit of Baywatch whenever I could sneak an episode there. But yeah, I mean, he does love a good Aussie movie, Herb, doesn't he? And I think we've had a few, you know. It's been patchy, Chris, I think I would say. Some good, some bad. But, you know, this is an interesting one. You know, it's right up there on Amazon Prime. You can rent it or buy it. Probably wait till, if you've not watched it, listen to the review first, I would say, before you part with your hard-earned cash. But, yeah, so, no, afraid not a lot from me. Didn't know this existed, Chris. And, yeah, I'm not sure how quickly I'll forget about it either. How about yourself?
I'm hoping very quickly, Dave, for both of us. But no, I haven't. I mean, Julian McMahon, me and Sam were massive fans of Nip Tuck when it first came out years ago. And that's the first time I'd ever come across him. I knew when researching he'd been married to Danny Minogue. He'd been in Home and Away. I was more of a Neighbours man, Dave. I did watch Home and Away when I got with Sam late night. He's up to, well, she stopped watching it this last year, actually. But so I knew who he was because of off the back of Nip Tuck, and you'd said that I forgot he was in Fantastic Four as well. So, but as a movie, I hadn't got a clue. Elliot Gould, I remember watching an Elliot Gould movie in the early 90s where I think he dies and becomes a bit of like a zombie of himself, and all, I don't know, it's some weird movie comedy thing. So I just wasn't sure what the hell we're going to expect. But when I saw the trailer, I thought, hang on a minute, Australia, fucking Baywatch, Dave, around this time. Chris was definitely fucking, I had quite a few fucking crusty socks under my desk, fuck, well, I don't know about that, Dave. That's another story I changed, but I definitely had them under my bed anyway. So this would have been perfect fodder for young virile Chris, Dave, without a doubt. So, but no, no context to any of it. And it's interesting because you said it last week. It's amazing that 1.6 million budget, and it made $3,634 at the Australian box office, Dave. No,
not $1,000, just dollars.
Just dollars, yeah, just dollars. And it was Julian McMahon's first movie as well. It was his debut, so it obviously did something to elevate. He had been in Home and Away, and he got this off the back of Home and Away, but it then, you know, he went to a level then where he did elevate his career. But not sure about everyone else's career, Dave. I mean, Elliot Gould obviously ended up being Ross and Monica's dad in Friends, yeah. So it didn't really harm him a couple of years later. But yeah, so Herb's picked one here, and I'm like, what is going on? However, Dave, the VHS cover is of a stunning blonde in a yellow bikini. I'm looking at it right now. Don't worry, I'm not touching myself. But she is beautiful. So I thought, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. But when you do try and find it online, and you put Wet and Wild in, what you need to do is put the full movie in, Dave, because this felt like one of them search engine things. I was thinking, well, I don't know what it's going to expose, but it is available on Amazon Prime. It's quite a hard movie to find, but it is, I think it's £3.50. So if you haven't seen it, it is available out there, and you may be able to get it from other ways. But we did it the legal way, Dave, didn't we? We paid for the movie.
And you know, as we always do, Chris,
Of course, the
thing that I thought was, you know, the picture that was used for Wet and Wild Summer. So the exchange lifeguards is fairly inoffensive, isn't it? And fairly bland. But the Wet and Wild Summer VHS cover, there's definitely channeling Pamela Anderson there. And you mentioned about the old crusty sock. So I wondered if that would be a worthy screensaver, I wonder, back in 93.
well, she did have the red Baywatch outfit on, Dave, if I remember correctly. But anyway, why don't we just get into the trailer, Dave, about that? You know what I mean? Let's not.
This is what we can sell with our new development in Australia. Sun, beaches, lifeguards, pretty girls. Mullet Beach has everything that we need. I think we should move on this, Father.
Oh, that coastline is some of the prettiest on Earth and the easiest to develop. You will be the exchange lifeguard on that plane to Australia, even if you can't swim a stroke.
They don't know who you are, so try and keep it that way.
Memo. My father reckons they're the greatest people in the world. So far, I found Australians to be nothing but a bunch of cheap, incompetent hustlers.
I want the community to work with us.
They will.
How these bunch of nerds ever survive at all is beyond me. McCain's bulldozing this clubhouse will be a community service. As far as Mullet Beach goes, this place is a paradise.
Doesn't look like much of a lifeguard.
So where do you stand, for or against?
It's not my town.
I sunk a lot of money into this. You've been down here for 5 minutes and already you're making negative decisions.
Negative?
So what do we do?
Stall them. I'll get the company back. If we can just get our hands on those deeds.
Patty, you okay?
Well, unlike you, I'm not here under false pretenses.
They know who I am, and I know exactly what you two are.
Don't worry, everything's under control.
Mike McCain, a property developer, wants to take over an Australian beach for a high-rise resort. He sends his son, Bobby, to Australia to check out the situation, posing as an exchange lifeguard. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, last week, your bio intro was fantastic for The Usual Suspects. And this one has been literally, I've rolled that on the back of a stamp because there is literally fuck all out there about this movie. There's a little bit of trivia in there. What's interesting, Dave, is the concept of the movie is, for some reason, he's got this mullet fucking bay, right, as Yeah. As this thing, he's got somewhere in Hawaii, which would make sense because depending where you are in America, if you're on the LA side, it's about 4 or 5 hours on a plane. But they've decided to go with this a development in Hawaii and one in Australia. Now, the Australia one, why or what world would you want to build a high-rise fucking property development on a beach, Dave? One, you've got the water lapping up anyway. There's got to be some structural issues there. To get down to make that structure secure, you would be digging for fucking to probably you'd probably find King Kong, Dave, in the other world. They'd be digging that thing. So the concept of it is bullshit. And obviously, Elliot Gould's playing the sort of character he plays in Friends. That sort of like.
It's Elliot Gould playing Elliot Gould.
Elliot Gould, every move. Yeah, other than in like Ocean's 11 and that, where he is a little bit of a character. He's just playing himself, that sort of hapless, not very aware, but he's sort of being not abused, but he's being like manipulated. And he's like Mike, and he's got this blonde woman who's his wife. And then we find out we've got the Dick Dastardly guy who's running it. Because at first you think Bobby McCain, you think he's a bit of a dick. So he's like, we need to go. And he's sort of in on it, but he's been coerced by this other guy, this fucking Al Eastman, to sort of get over there. And their aim is to take over the actual business. They want the business and run it all. And it did remind me a little bit of Batman, Dave, in Batman Begins and that, Bruce Wayne and stuff. And it's taking over. Yeah, the concept of it's fucking nonsense. And his missus is there, like, she's having an affair with this Eastman and they're just in cahoots together. But ultimately, Bobby goes over there and Bobby's got to go. Because at the start, he's a baddie. He's got to go and be a lifeguard, Dave. There's no concepts other than him saying, I can swim. And I'm thinking, well, I don't think that's... It's like me saying I can fucking drive and I've got Lewis Hamilton's spot in fucking 2025 in the Mercedes. So it's not going to happen. Professional. But they just... I've told you the story before. A friend of my uncle's who used to get a lot of, allegedly used to have bags of clothes, Dave, of copper stuff. Yeah. And I remember telling them, I told it on this podcast, so I do apologize. He got a job as a lifeguard and couldn't swim, Dave. But my mum said to him, we're going on holiday. Is there any chance you can get some swimming and shorts and that for the lads? Because obviously we were, there's nine of us. I've told you the story. And he turned up at our door with a pair of Speedos and went, these are for Christian, give him these. And my mum went, oh, great. Yeah, they were wet, Dave. He took them out. And my mum washed them and I wore them Speedos on fucking holiday, which when I look back now was like, were things that fucking bad that I've got some skidded fucking Speedos of some kid that he's stolen from the fucking floor of the sports centre, Sports Centre. Anyway.
Two things come to mind. A, I'm glad she washed them. B, I hope no one was wearing them at the time they were stolen.
That's another lawsuit, that, Dave. Yeah, another fucking... That's another police investigation. So that was my little story. I had to bring that one in. But yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? It's like Mike Lee and you saying, yeah, I've done a bit of boxing, right? You're going to go and fight Tyson Fury. Well, then again, anybody can fight anyone these days in boxing. But you know what I mean? It's just,
I've done a bit of boxer size. Tyson, let's go. I've done
Taibo with Billy Blanks. Let's I can do kickboxing. Let's go. Yeah. I've still got them DVDs somewhere. Taibo, legend. Billy
Probably
Blanks.
VHS.
The fucking legend he is. But no, it just the premise of it is nothing. And then it's like the thing in it, the premise of Karate Kid. The whole world of this fucking, like, this whole town and that raid goes off this fucking lifeguard thing, innit? You know what I mean? Like in Baywatch, Mick Buchanan can just fucking, he can override the FBI and he's harder than all of them. And he's a lifeguard, but he can do these fucking investigations alongside the fucking CIA or the army or something. And they just accept this lifeguard, don't they? he can do all this.
Oh, we've got to go back and watch like a Baywatch episode movie.
There's movies there.
At some point. It's just fucking ridiculous. But yeah, I think you know what I found interesting is the saving the environment was quite high on the agenda around this time, wasn't there? There's all kinds of different movies that tackle this same thing. So it is a bit of nonsense. This whole thing for me feels like an after-school sort of special, maybe, yes. Or an extended kind of arc for Home and Away, you know, so maybe it goes over a few weeks where you have this evil property developer coming in from the US or something and looking to destroy, you know, the local environment and whatever. So that's like the whole feel of it. And then it just, what was the thing we were talking about the other week where it flip-flops? Oh, you know what? It was something I was talking about with Mike Burton and Math, actually, on the Star Wars Clone Wars, that it weirdly just goes from this very kiddie type of feel to, you know, they basically throw out these clones into space, like, to just literally suffocate. This is a fucking cartoon that kids watch. It's like so fucking brutal, and you're like, holy shit. I mean, Chris, later in the movie, you basically have I can't remember what the girl's name, like the kind of punk one, the one who does a bit of training, the dark-haired one with the leather jacket.
And
she's fucking knocked out on the floor, and then the baddie's like just about to get his jeans off to fucking rape her. And yet elsewhere in the movie, it's all like slapstick and a bit of fun and that. It's just tonally, I found this one bonkers. But like I say, just apart from the boobs, I guess the boobs would discount it from being an after school special. But, you know, I don't know. It was just all over the place for me.
Yeah, you're right, because it feels like, I mean, in some of the trivia there, they said they were trying to make a Porky's movie, but like, you know, by the beach or something or whatever. Mm. But for me, it feels very much like Police Academy type thing, you know, like where, oh, not police, what do we do?
Ski patrol,
you know, that sort of thing, like the whole skiing resort is threatened by this. Or like, you know, even Dirty Dancing, it's like, it's a summer fucking holiday place, but for some reason, the whole of America's just going to go under if they don't fucking have this last dance. That's how they frame it, don't they? You know what I mean? Johnny and Baby have got to have this dance, or that's the end of fucking the existence and all this. And the idea behind it, there is just no... The prospects of like a developer just randomly picking somewhere in Australia, you can't tell me. America is fucking huge, and there's a reason a lot of Americans don't have passports, because you can literally go to anywhere in America and you can go skiing, you can go in the mountains, you can go by the beach, you can do whatever you want in America if you didn't want to leave that country. And yeah, but for some reason, a property developer just pinpointed this exact beach in Australia. It's like, that just wouldn't even fucking happen, would it? You know, it just wouldn't happen.
I think you're missing the fact that this is an Australian movie and they need some kind of American angle to force sales, even though it obviously didn't work. But, you know, I remember my dad saying to me when I was a kid, like, even British movies, like, they'll always try and get an American in. Like, say something like Four Weddings and a Funeral. Oh, we've got to have, what was it, Julia Roberts? I keep getting fucking names wrong. Yeah. Did you see? Julia Roberts, I got pulled out because I was trying to say Tommy Lee Jones. I was trying to reference Tommy Lee Jones last week in Under Siege or whenever it was. Apparently, I said Tommy Lee Cooper.
Oh, I remember him. He was a better actor than fucking Tommy Lee Jones in that one. Yeah, he was better.
Just like that.
Erica Relaniak's fucking bra was better than Tommy Lee Jones in Under Siege. Fucking hell. She held it together in that bellend. But anyway.
So it's Julia Roberts, isn't it? I'm thinking of it. But, you know, so you have to give that American actor, you know, a role within this movie so that you give that point of view character, because America's the biggest fucking movie market in the world. So you've always got to do that. Whereas, really, when the writer was probably writing it, he was probably thinking about a property developer who wanted to build his skyrise, you know, destroy the beach and the local wildlife and stuff for his own purposes. And then a producer has probably gone, oh yeah, but they've got to be American, you know, again, let's bring those in and then we can sell it into the American market. And it got a release, you know, a lot of films, especially in Warner Brothers now, don't get released. So, you know, the fact that it got released into the American market, I think is a good thing. And yeah, they rolled the dice. They just didn't make any money.
Or a fucking good movie. But no, I think I think as well, what got me was when like he goes over there, you know, Mike and that, and he's sorry, Bobby, and he goes over there and he meets them all, doesn't he? And they're like the worst lifeguard thing, and they're doing this lifeguard thing, and the bloke who's on their team from Mullet fucking Bay, he's got a bit of a beer gut, he's in the Speedos, and the like, and that guy's got on the other teams trying to win, and he goes, yeah, just play as a shark, mate, and he takes him out with a yellow. Fucking, you know, he's got a yellow oxygen thing on and he's supposed to be a shark. And he went, he won't even notice. And I'm like, but it didn't even deliver what they were trying to do. It made no fucking sense whatsoever. And when they went, shark, fucking shark, and everyone's running back and they're going, oh, it's disqualification, mate. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why does Bobby have to go in and he isn't part of the team at this point, but why does he have to go in and become a lifeguard and do this fucking race? It's like you're a multi-million pound profit developer. You don't need to become a lifeguard and win some fucking tournament as the best fucking lifeguard team so that this property development can carry on. It makes no fucking sense whatsoever. My head was just fucking pickled with this. I had to stop at one point and go, I don't actually know what the fuck is going on here. This is like, even for me.
Let me try. I mean, the shark bit, I think that more than anything, that whole piece made me think of something like Home and Away. So, hey, Stoney, go and pretend you're a shark or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just silly, wasn't it? But I think from what I got, basically the girl who ends up being the love interest, is it Julie?
Yeah.
And she seemed to own the beach somehow. And so Bobby kind of has to infiltrate the locals because they're putting up some resistance to this takeover of the beach. It's fucking very hand-wavy, my understanding of it, to be honest. But, I mean, really, really forced in terms of what they're actually trying to do. And you can see it, there's a fucking postage stamp on what's coming, can't you? You know, he comes in, Bobby comes in, you know, he has a bit of a rough ride on the taxi and stuff. And, you know, he doesn't like Australia. He thinks they're lazy grifters kind of thing. Bit like our government, Chris. You know, sets all of that shit up. And then obviously he meets Julie and, you know, he's sort of, you're like, oh, yeah, well, at some point that's going to be the love interest. And then you got this weird thing where, you know, Mike McCann, so played by Elliot Gould, he's being poisoned basically, but no one gives a shit, and like all it takes is you know, someone to accuse someone else of not having their marbles, and that's it. Everyone on the board just believes them. It's just utter nonsense, the lot of it. But Chris, I would say there is a, and I'm going to call it like a Home and Away style charm to it. I wasn't completely out. I wasn't like checking my phone all the way through. It helps that probably every few minutes there were a pair of boobs on screen as well, you know, to keep your attention there. But, you know, I think there was something about it, but this is not a good movie.
No, and I'm glad you said that, because it isn't. I've not said it for a while, but it's not the worst film we've ever seen by any stretch. But I think what it is, you're right. Look, Dave, you put a pair of boobs on that screen, it doesn't matter how old I am, I'm still going to be like, ooh, what's going to happen next? And there's plenty of beautiful, beautiful women on show in this movie, you know, absolutely stunning. And the blokes, there's some good looking lads as well, and that, but the women, you know, are just, yeah, boobs for me, that does it. But I think what it is, Dave, it's a familiar format, isn't it? They say about the Porky's reference. Yes, you've got Porky's, you've got other movies that follow Police Academy. I felt at times we had a little bit of that, didn't we? You know, and see Mick, who's Julie McMahon, he's sort of like the co-star, but he's billed as the main star, and he sort of runs the team, doesn't he? And he's a bit of the jock. He's the only one who isn't a bit of a bell end out of all the other blokes on the team.
Yeah. But
it's not really believable. And what's interesting, when you watch these sort of movies, it's usually at the end where if one of them's undercover and they're supposed to be coming into sort of, you know, like what Bobby's doing, he's coming in because he wants that land initially. But his sort of, he finds out what's going on not that far, about halfway into the movie, doesn't he? You know, really, he's not like at the end where the girl finds out who he's made love to and they love each other. And, you know, he's been, but he loves this way of life because his dad says, doesn't he? You're going to understand. Coincidentally, though, Dave, he's not seen his mum for fucking years, who actually lives in Mullet Bay, which is another coincidence. But he's not like his mum has just abandoned him and the dad's brought him up. But for some reason, the mother's just like, open arms. Oh my God, it's great. It's not like you fucking bitch. You've left me for 20 years or something. No, no, it's always forgiven. No problem at all. Just come in. And then Mike still loves her. And he said he lived in Australia. He never should have come back. And obviously, when he tries to ring his dad, Mike's there. And he's like, I need to do a collect call. But yeah, it's very strange how that changes. Because normally it is within the last 10 minutes. But then Bobby would have to do something to redeem himself. And you know, when they find out, a bit of a kicking, don't he, off the, like, the guys and stuff. But yeah, they're fighting against fucking Dick Dastardly and that fucking blonde woman who are absolutely some of the worst, corniest baddies we've ever seen.
Oh, they were straight off. I was saying about Home and Away, but they were straight off Power Rangers. Like, the way they were hamming it up was unbelievable. And again, it was ridiculous for me. And I don't know. There's so many giant leaps from this because she's trying to poison Mike, you know, the dad. And you can see he's like playing about with his mud earlier in the movie, isn't he? And you see there's something not quite right there. And she's giving him these pills and stuff. And then he comes out of this, like, just because. he just sort of almost like wakes up from it and decides he's going to bugger off to Australia. Like, just again, because the plot, I guess, but no real reason. And then the thing is, when it comes to pass, that they basically tried to murder him.
Yes,
it's all just kind of brushed over. It's like, oh, we'll just sign these papers, you know, and the whole company back to me and stuff. And you know, you did try to murder me, you know. It's like, what? No, they. They tried to actually kill you. You can't just sign the company. The fucking police should be involved here. Such utter nonsense in the whole thing.
There is, and you know, one scene, Dave. Now we're going to bring it down a level that I like to bring it down a level on the podcast. Do you remember the urban myth about the woman and the dog food tin, Dave, that went round when we were younger?
No.
Well, somebody I know said they knew this person, but I don't think I've heard this off other people. But allegedly, Dave, this was an urban myth when I was like a teenager, and a friend of mine said, like, oh, I knew the girl, and I'm thinking, this is bullshit. I don't believe it. However, it goes like this now. I'm bringing it down because it's one of the scenes in the movie where the bloke is getting dog food put down his fucking trunks, the baddie, you know, like the henchman.
Oh,
and the,
yeah.
The urban myth is that this girl came home, or this woman, sorry, came home and put exactly. When we were younger, puts a fucking tin of Pedigree chum in a certain area, and fucking lassie had the time of its life, as did the woman, I believe, Dave, as well. So, that's the story, and someone saw it through the window, apparently. I think it's bullshit, because when I was a kid, I believed it. Was like, who is this? But then an actual lady friend of we know said, I know the girl, and I'm thinking, this is bullshit. I still don't believe that story, but that was the story, Dave, anyway. The dog had a very good, he made sure he licked all the Pedigree chum up, that's all I'll say.
Unbelievable.
Aldi's anyway.
I that is a long dormant memory, but I do remember that being discussed at school. Yeah. But I
must have been bullshit.
Well forgot. Oh, it's utter bullshit. I mean, the only if you would say to me now, do you remember as an urban legend who used to shit you up as a kid, I'm not going to mention the name, but you'll recognize it. It's if you got caught by this person, he would ask you if you wanted a pop or slash.
I think I know who you're getting at, Dave. Did he also like to rub your muscles if you had them, Dave?
He did. He did. Yeah. That was usually a precursor to the question.
Yeah. Anyway, moving swiftly on, Dave. But there you go. That's another urban myth. That moved all the way down the M62 then. Yes, so I know exactly.
I think that was quite a big one in the sort of northwest region, wasn't it? People of Manchester shared that little urban... Well, I don't know. Was it an urban myth? I don't know to this day, you know. But...
Nope. It wasn't his documentaries on YouTube and everything, Dave. When I was well into the gym, I always made sure there were 15 jumpers. But anyway.
But getting back to that dog thing, I was thinking, like, if a dog was doing that in real life, probably would eat your cock off.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there won't be a lot there for mine, Dave, but...
Well, that's the other thing, right? The Aussies, they love their mullets, they love their speedos, their budgie smugglers. But like when you're going into the cold sea, I don't think it's a good look. So, you know, in amongst the pedigree chum, I mean, it'd just be like a bit of a chipolata, wouldn't it? It just wouldn't even notice. Wouldn't notice it's your cock.
Fucking chipolata. Sometimes mine's that cold, Dave. I don't even know if it's fucking there. But yeah, it's fucking brilliant, that. I know, the brave people. I always think that, thinking like, well, you've obviously got people who are well endowed. You must have like a fucking chopper on them. So you're thinking, how, you definitely don't wear speedos, do you? You know what I mean? Like, they just don't, do they? Normal people wear speedos. Because I think that you can literally grow 10 times to what it is flaccid, Dave. So there is hope for us all. I'm not sure what fucking measurement I'm doing mine in. But anyway, but yeah, you know, that is the rumour.
You know, the thing I found weird as well is Bobby was sort of wearing these cycling shorts, which are, yes, are equally, you know, expressive about where everything is. And they were all like taking the piss out of him. It's like, oh, what are you wearing, sort of thing. And it's like, mate, you're in fucking budgie smugglers. What the?
Yeah.
I didn't get it. Maybe this is the thing. Maybe, you know, if you're not wearing the budgie smugglers, you're the outcast.
Maybe I remember, though, you said about budgie smugglers. I remember I've told you before, I went dressed as the Undertaker, that fancy dress Halloween, and they all thought it was out of Kiss, to be fair. I thought it was Gene Simmons out of the Kiss, even though I had the belt. And I had to put the WWF belt, I should say, the original, around my waist, because basically it was hiding my modesty, because it was an all-in-one cycling suit. It was like a black suit with the actual leotard thing and everything, and they had the boots on and everything. I never forget this. This is God's honest truth. So I did have, like, you know, this thing on. I had like undies on, but was trying to not make sure you couldn't see the panty line, Dave. You know what I mean? Because it ruined the illusion. However, I do remember Sam saying, God, yeah, you've done well there. What have you done? Have you pushed it down? And I was fucking like, you're fucking taking the piss. I was like, and then I looked on it, and it looked like I had a one-inch cock. A figure. It was a PG, Dave. You know what I mean? I had to do a thing, but yeah, I was so offended. I was thinking, I'm gonna put a sock down there or something here. This is fucking bollocks. I did look like an action figure, you're right there. Yeah, where's my cock? It just disappeared. But anyway.
Oh dear. But yes, I have to say, Chris, that, you know, we talked a bit about Julian McMahon. This was obviously his first movie and stuff, but yeah, good looking young bloke, and for me, he sort of stands out on the screen. Like you say, there's lots of beautiful people and stuff, but there's something, you know, all people in movies and TV generally, they're just good looking specimens, aren't they? And I think he does really stand out. I mean, I've only ever heard him with an American accent, so it's still bizarre to me that, you know, that he's playing this character Mick, you know, with his regular kind of Aussie accent. But yeah, I thought he played a good character. But if I was, you know, looking for talent, if I was a producer or something, for me, he did stand out from everyone else. And you're thinking, yeah, he would go on to better things. You could see it right there.
Yeah, you could. Whereas, and I think that's a great point, whereas Bobby, that was his level. And I looked at the actor, Christopher Atkins, he'd done something with Brooke Shields in 80 or something, it said, and that's why he got this part 11 years later or whatever it was, which is a bit random, because he'd done something to do with water. But he's done a lot of B-movies. You could tell, you know, it was his level, wasn't it? And I think I think as well, though, Dave, like as a story, and when they're trying to get the deeds and they're doing all this, and then what I don't get is, right, when the guy comes over, Dick Dastardly, fucking Al Eastman and the missus, fucking what she called, McKay, was his wife, Donna, she was called, wasn't she? She comes over, the blonde piece, and he's there. But then there, he gets chinned anyway by Bobby eventually. They give him a crack because they realise what's going on about him drugging him, and Elliot Gould says to his wife, yeah, he's been drugging me and all this. Like you said, like it's nothing. Like it's absolutely nothing. Oh, it's all fine. Don't worry about it. Won't tell the police or anything. You're not going to take all my money, inherit it all and all that. But then the next scene after Bobby's chinned him is the race. And they're invested in the fucking race for some reason. And I'm like, why are they invested in the race? Yeah. I know it was supposed to be, they'll get no funding, or that was the thin fucking script or the fucking toilet paper that it was written on. But they were really invested at the end. And I'm like, this is fucking nonsense. Like, it didn't even make sense to me. The end bit made no fucking sense whatsoever. The whole race thing. And yeah, there was no jeopardy to it, was there?
It was just weird, wasn't it? I didn't really understand that. And if I was to go back and watch it, I'd probably pick up more bits of the story. But it was weird how, you know, this company in America, they're trying to take over this whole beach, but somehow it's intertwined with this fucking, lifeguard race, this lifeguard competition.
That's what I mean. Nobody's shit about it.
I didn't really get it, but I don't know if it was something to do with the deeds, the fact that, I don't know, it's a leap that I can't quite take, Chris, but it was weird how it all just came together and the fact that, you know, these things were linked. One thing, before I forget, Chris, that I will say, when you could see the old Mullet Beach was a bit shit and they kind of capsized and they're like, where's the Yank? Bobby was with them. When it capsized, I was like, fucking hell, that's dangerous stunt, that, because they genuinely did sort of have this massive boat. And I thought, if that lands on top of you, you know, you fucking getting taken out, you know, you're knocked out for sure. So I thought that was a pretty cool stunt, to be honest. And I was just wondering, like, I couldn't quite see if it was the actors. I'm presuming it was stunt people. But, yeah, I thought that was an impressive stunt, to be fair.
And to be fair, now you describe it, you're right, I can see it now. And the thing was, Dave, I think that's where the fucking budget went in the end on the movie. Yeah. But no, I mean, the idea obviously at the end is, you know, we are going to redevelop. Everyone's going, oh, boo. Then he's like, but we're going to do an environmentally thingy, sustainable fucking bollocks or whatever. You know, they obviously just read about the ozone layer when they wrote this movie. But then obviously everyone lives happily. You know, Mike goes off with his ex-wife who fucking abandoned him and his son. Nobody gives a fuck about that. You know, she's just going to live the best life. Totally shit parenting. Hey, Bobby's there now. He's going to stay in Australia. You know, the company's saved. Everyone's saved. Mick ends up with that girl. It's just, it all ends up like you said, Saturday morning cartoon stuff. But other than the boobs, Dave, you wouldn't have even thought this was like an adult TV show. You could have seen this on like someone I'd watched on BBC One as a kid or something. You know, like I used to watch one called Heartbreak High and stuff like that. But it's a little bit gritty. And Aussie One, I used to like that. And Aussie One and BBC Two. I don't know. It's just, a great pick for her, because it was one of them ones where like we would never be exposed to a movie like this. And I love that. I love that people are picking movies from their corners of the world and stuff that, you know, we both do it, don't we? We gazump each other every now and again with movies. And you're like, what the fuck is this? I've never heard of it. But this was just you can tell why he's picked it. It was probably a movie that was on a lot when you're growing up and everything in Australia. So I love that about this podcast. I do.
Yeah, and I think, again, we've said it, but, you know, early 90s, watching this around the time, that would be shoulder injury-inducing stuff, wouldn't it?
my fucking shoulder is everywhere these days, isn't it? Twitter, I'm getting all sorts of micro. Fucking hell.
I wonder why, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. What a dick.
I don't know. Well, Chris, should we get into our final review?
Let's go. Dave. And again, massive thank you to Herb, one of our patrons, for supporting the podcast. A great guy. Great movie to do. You know what I mean? Like I say, you've got to go to Prime to find it legally. Is it worth £3.50? I'd probably say so, yeah, because it's just silly. It's just a silly movie, which is an old concept that's been used over and over again. But the fact that we can't even understand how a lifeguard race, that one isn't even televised. It's not a national award. It's just basic load of people like learning how to be lifeguard. Yeah, it's just like a random thing that they're doing. And the center of this whole movie revolves around this race. It's fucking, and like I say, like you look at like Dirty Dancing, you take a step back and go, what the fuck is going on here? But the movie, it works within the movie. With this one, I don't think it works in the movie. I think Elliot Gould's just taking the piss. Apparently he read the script and was like a few times like, oh yeah, I want to play this character. Why? Nobody knows. Maybe he just wanted a free holiday to Australia. I don't know. Like you say, Julian McMahon does stand out. He's wasted in this movie, I think. You can tell he was going to go on to big and better things, but it's just a stupid movie. It's not a comedy. I didn't laugh fucking once. I didn't find any of it amusing, but these boobs, Dave. So when these boobs, it doesn't go to the bottom, Dave, at all. Young Chris was stirring well at some of these points, definitely. So I'm going to put it in Elm Street, Dave. I did enjoy it in stages. I don't know why, because it's absolutely awful movie with no fucking real scripts. It does give me hope that I could one day become a fucking movie writer and producer and director all in one day on a budget of about £3.50. Yeah, it is what it is. It's a Baywatch ripoff, and almost, and you're right actually, Dave, what you said before, this was probably been covered in one of the episodes of Baywatch. They probably ripped it off Baywatch. You know, David Hasselhoff's probably done something like this about someone developing the beach or something, and they're all, but behind it was the mafia, but Mitch and the fucking gang can you know, and CJ and that can just go and kick the shit out of the mafia and stuff for no problem at all. So it isn't that far off what you would have saw on Baywatch, whereas the nipples are covered, even though you could see the nipples on Baywatch. On this one they're not, Dave, so I'll give this a mark up for that. So anyway, Elm Street, what about yourself?
You know, I know we mentioned it before, but this film cost $1.6
million. Yeah. No one knows why.
Yeah. Yeah, where did it go? Yeah, so I think you've summed it up nicely, actually. I kind of, there is something about this, and again, it probably does go back to that nostalgia of just being surrounded by these kind of Australian soaps and stuff when you're coming into those teen years, and you know, Australia seems like this kind of exotic place, and you know, we've talked about it before. I always loved America, but Australia was just something different, wasn't it? And it just has that kind of home and away and neighbors feel to it with boobs. And so, you know, again, so I'm definitely not putting it in the bottom either. But the silliness, and like I say, but it gets quite nasty in places as well. It's this weird spectrum of different things that are thrown in there. The movie plot, though, is just really after-school special stuff. But, you know, I mean, I laugh about Elliot Gould and just playing himself, but there is something endearing when he plays that kind of lovable buffoon, really, isn't there? You know, Julian McMahon sort of standing out as that kind of star quality. I think there are things that are good. I mentioned about the stunt as well, and some of the, you know, one of the reasons Jaws took so long to film was because it's fucking hard. When you're actually out in the water, in the open water, it's really hard to film and stuff. So maybe that's where some of the budget went. But yeah, Chris, it's not a great movie, though. You know, so I said at the beginning, you know, maybe wait. If you're undecided, I don't think this is on a must-watch list. There is something charming about this and in that early 90s Australian way, but I can't recommend anyone to really watch this one, to be honest, you know. So yeah, it's Elm Street for me as well. I think that, yeah. And yeah, bang in the middle of Elm Street. I wouldn't say it doesn't deserve to go to the bottom, even though this is probably one of the lowest reviewed IMDb scores, isn't it? 4.1. We always say, like, if it's really bad, it kind of hangs around the 5 mark. So to get below 5, you have to be particularly bad. And so, I think, Chris, this for me should be up there with Eat My Dust, which was about 5.2 or 5.6 or something. So
great film.
Yeah. This is not this is not any worse, let's put it that way, than Eat My Dust. So yeah, Elm Street for me.
Good stuff, good stuff. So Dave, it is another Patreon pick. It's our good friend Lee. Lee the Magician and Ventriloquist, by the way, Dave. He's great on Twitter if you don't follow him, at Lee Mill, and he's a good lad. And big thank you for your support, Lee, as well. We do appreciate it. So, Dave, we're going back, and this is interesting. We're going back to the fifth movie in this series as well, Dave. We're going back to 1994, and it stars Mr. Charles Bronson. So we are going to be reviewing Death Wish 5, The Face of Death. So let's get into the trailer.
I've only seen the first two or maybe three of these, but years ago.
Yeah, you know what, Dave? I have only watched the first one.
In the world of glamour and high fashion.
I thought that was you doing that voice. I thought that was you doing the voice.
The kid is taking over.
Honestly.
Peekaboo.
I watched this guy coming up through the Irish gangs, and now he's ruthless.
He's infiltrated every aspect of my business.
Their methods are brutal.
Promise me, if anything should happen to me, he'll take care of Chelsea.
Are they surroundable?
Gone.
The one thing they didn't count on was an enemy who wouldn't back down.
You know, these people, they steal, they murder, destroy people's lives, and get away with it.
Kersey's no amateur. You've got a problem.
Is back.
I'm coming for you, O'Shea.
And this long time,
in the rearview mirror now, though, isn't it?
Until his wish is their command.
No judge, no jury, no appeal, and no deal.
John Wick, isn't
it? Yeah.
But the cops take these guys down. Sometimes the law works,
and sometimes it doesn't.
It looks about seven.
Showtime. He's whispering.
Where's the girl?
Video quality, it's like, this is like a TV movie, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. All the explosions all day.
Yeah.
Literally beat Dark Angel.
Charles Bronson.
Guns make you nervous.
Death Wish.
Face of Death. I'm not lying. That guy scared the shit out of me. When you... Honestly, when he started then, I thought that was you doing the voice because then it's too loud. That was, so it shows how good your voice is when you do
that. Can't be a trailer that starts off with Inner World.
Fucking brilliant. Oh, Dave, I've got some. So I'm looking forward to that one because I've not seen it. I think I've watched bits of Death Wish in the past. I know the first one, the premise of it, and I've seen quite a lot of it, but I don't think I've watched it, so be interested, especially since this is the fifth one, and I'm pretty sure this is a canon fucking £20 budget fucking movie.
I remember, my uncle's playing Death Wish quite a lot, and I'd seen the first, like I say, I remember the first two, and I'm trying to think now, have I seen the third one, but... I mean, there's got to be a reason why Lee's picked the fifth one here. So I'm intrigued as to what this will be.
Oh, me too. And also, Dave, a little bit of news as well, Dave. One of our patrons, Matt Bates, who's a good mate of mine because he loves Las Vegas, Dave, and he's a vlogger. So I've just been watching his last trip to Vegas over Christmas. I'm very jealous he was out on Christmas Day. But breaking news, Dave. My 25th anniversary this year, and we are going at the end of September to Las Vegas, surprise, surprise, for a week. I cannot wait, me and Sam. But Mr. Matt Bates is going to be there at the same time, Dave. So there's going to be a VHS/ UK Las Vegas vlogger crossover. So he's called Black Country Vlogger on YouTube. He's a good lad, Matt. We just watched him last week. We were Saturday night, we were just having a few beverages, and we watched quite a lot of his vlogs over Christmas. But yeah, so we're going to organise some. And I'd said to you before the podcast that how I threw a message out on Facebook to different people in one of the Las Vegas groups, and it snowballed into about 30 people wanting to meet over. And to be fair, now we're talking, I didn't say anything, this is off the back of me talking to Matt. So yeah, idiot here has created a big fucking event now, which I didn't really want to. Not I didn't want to, but I didn't think I'd had that many people wanting to come and say hello and have a drink. But yeah, we've got, me and Matt have got quite a lot now. So Matt doesn't know it, but it's a joint venture. But there you go.
So when you're saying you've organised it,
Listen, you know me better than anyone.
You've sort of thrown out a message, and now you're thinking, shit.
Well,
where can I just turn up with 30 fucking people?
Yeah, and also, I'm sure you want to come to Vegas, Dave. You're really good at planning stuff. You sure you want to come over there?
But no, that is awesome. And I quite happily play along with the virtual bit of gambling.
You will, actually.
I'm sure we will sort something out there. But Chris, before we get into our thanks and everything, I do have a review. I don't know if you remember the last one. I can't remember what the name was, but we've got a bit of a slate in there. Well, this one, fortunately, is a little bit better. So if you do like us, if you could get over to wherever you've found us and drop us a review, that would be fantastic. But this one, Chris, starts off, love from Pennsylvania. It says, favorite podcast and would love to hear Monty Python movies reviewed. An American who enjoys listening to these guys always makes me laugh. And that's from Darth Markups. So thank you very much, sir. And we do, I keep teasing, don't I? That I want to do The Life of Brian, and Holy Grail, I absolutely loved as well. But we'll definitely do that. I was thinking of holding off for Life of Brian until, Christmas time again. But no, I think that's a film you can sort of do all year round, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, to be fair. And I think we had a comment, you saying that, we had a comment on No Cheat, No Surrender 3, which does say it is the full movie, because we've got it back up now. And it does say with full commentary. And I think there's a few comments and some things like, you guys are boring at the background of the movie.
I think you said that last week.
Oh, did I? But anyway, no, that was the one where he says, you talk to the guys.
Oh, is it another one?
It's another one. Just letting the movie play, we've been told. It's like, but he's got commentary. There's other versions of it. If you want the proper versions, there is other versions on YouTube. This is us doing our podcast, but I do love that, Dave. It could snowball, because we are at 20,000 views on that. It could snowball into the losers type situation where we've got nothing hundreds of thousands. That is amazing. But anyway, big thank you to everyone. Thank you as always. We do appreciate it. If you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. We follow us on social media @vhsstrikesback. If you do get a chance, please drop us a review in your podcast catching app, as Dave just read out. We do appreciate it. If you need to support us a little bit more, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. So big thank you to all our patrons today. Big thank you to Herb again. And Lee for next week's pick. We do appreciate it. So big thank you to Mr. Tony Farina, John Hammond, Blake, Maths, Jack, Herb, Lucky Lulu Green, Kent Gustafson, Heath, Matt, Tim, Susan, Justin, Dan, Trent, Stephen, Dylan, Helen, Lee, Mike, Burton. There was more, Dave, but that's enough. We've got more than enough, so sorry about that. Big thank you to all ears, and thanks for all your support, past and present. It's amazing. And there is a free followers section now on Patreon. You can get on there and come and join us anyway without the different tiers as well. So we do appreciate any support. It just helps us grow the podcast.
It absolutely does. And Chris, I was just having a cheeky little look while you were reading out there, but the losers, so basically it's just our podcast review of it, isn't it? So you don't get that many views on sort of YouTube typically, but the losers currently sits at 262,000 views.
No one knows why.
No, just weirdly shows up in people's algorithms, I guess. Not tagged it or anything. It literally says the loser's review. People obviously trying to find the movie.
Oh, no, honestly, it's so good. We always talk about that. It's like, we don't know what's going on with that one at all. And we didn't tag it. There was no tricks. It's just there. But obviously people looking for the full movie. And obviously with this one being like about the beach and stuff like that, Dave. I was having a quick look on IMDb and there isn't any quotes. So what are you going to take us out with today, Dave?
Well, Chris, again, I think we've alluded to the fact that this is sort of a Baywatch type ripoff. And the clue is given away by one of the guys who's conspiring to sell off this beach. And he simply says that Mullet Beach has sun, beaches, lifeguards and pretty girls. What more would you want from a movie? Thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
One ring to go.
All right. Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe you're
stupid.
Crazy.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.
I must break